Good morning, and welcome to Union Congregational Church in Magnolia. Today is the first Sunday that we're worshiping outdoors in a long time, and it's a wonderful thing. But I know that not all of you were able to come today for a variety of reasons, but we still wanted you to be full participants in the service. So let's pray before I deliver this short message. Lord, we thank you for your holy and inspired word. We thank you for your glory and your grace. We thank you for our church. And as we consider the next chapter in its history, we pray that you would guide us, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that you would make all things new. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week, you may recall, I preached the first part of a two-part sermon, which I call the 10 C's of Missional Leadership. We spoke about the importance of any pastor coming to our church, that if they're going to be genuine missional leaders, and of course this is on top of the previous week's sermon on grace-centered leadership, that it's important, first and foremost, that they be Christ-centered, that in everything that we as a church do, it reflects the being and the nature and the character of God in Christ. The second C was courage. And we spoke about the fact that it's so important for us to be willing to do the right thing, even when it's unpopular, but to always do it graciously and humbly and with love as the only motive. Then we spoke about character, which I defined, you may recall, as evidence of a virtuous life. I relayed the story of the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe, and how Aslan, the lion, isn't safe, but he is good, and so it is with God. And it takes courage to embrace a God who is all-powerful, but also always good. Then we spoke about collegiality and how important it was for us to reflect the nature of the triune God, which lives in relationship with itself. And that while vision casting and things of that nature have a place, we're really much more interested in people who are willing to build consensus and be faithful to the mission and be humble enough to think that they don't have to do everything and shouldn't really even want to do everything. Good missional ministry is team-oriented. And lastly, we spoke about a commonality of purpose. And I reminded everyone that we as a church believe that we are called by God to be a nurturing fellowship that empowers people in our community to know Christ and to make him known. What a wonderful purpose that is. And how important it is that if we get the mission right, the other things will take care of themselves. Well, today I want to add the second list of five to make up the total of 10 C's of missional leadership. The first one being catalytic mission. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, traditionally, ministers are seen as having responsible for what's known as the cure of souls. That's where we get the term a curate. You may have heard that term. It's used more in Anglican traditions, but it's a wonderful term. And the notion is that a curate has the spiritual care of a community as part of their responsibility. So the emphasis is on ministering to a particular group of people. Now, while that's still true for a variety of reasons, ministry in the 21st century, I believe, has to be much more than just that. As the church moves forward, we need pastors who are, first of all, willing to engage with our culture, without abandoning our basic truth claims, of course, but we need to not have this mentality that the church is under siege, when in fact we are called to go out into the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ. So to do that, we have to engage with our culture. Also, we want missional leaders who equip everyone in the congregation to be ensigns of the gospel and to empower everyone in the congregation to do kingdom work wherever that is, in whatever form that takes. You know, at Gordon Conwell, I hold the Mockler Phillips Chair in Workplace Theology and Ethical Leadership. And really, the whole basis of that chair is that actually, ideally, there should be no sacred secular divide. In God's economy, everything is sacred. So no matter what work we do, no matter where God puts us, whether we're retired or whether we're employed, whether we're single or whether we're married, whether we've been a Christian for our entire lives or we're just learning what it's like to be a Christian, no matter what, there should be no compartmentalization between our secular lives and our church lives. There should be no divide between Sunday and Monday, again, between church and culture, because we are called not to be of the world, but very much to be in the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that ever who would believeth in him would not perish, but have eternal life. So I think it's really important that we look for someone who understands this concept of a catalytic mission that involves all of us. Yes, one pastor, but all ministers of the gospel. The next C is what I call corporate mission. And again, it's because of the uniqueness of the 21st century North American environment in which we live. In many ways, ministering to the church in a place like Magnolia is like ministering to a parade. People live incredibly busy lives. They're being pulled in 1,000 different directions. They come, they go, they have very contemporary needs and expectations. They have incredibly complex problems, and the demography is so diverse in terms of age and marital and family status and all kinds of things. So as a church, it's really difficult for us to meet the needs of so many different people when we're such a small congregation. However, I believe that if we can create a ministry that incorporates all of the resources available to us from the wider community, from other churches, it's not a market. We don't compete with other churches. We're all doing the same work in different ways. And we have the college and we have the seminary. If we could find a way to bring all of those resources to bear in our little community, then our ability to meet people's needs increases exponentially. But in order to do that, we've got to have a pastor who can establish trusting relationships that are both deep and wide. And I can tell you, it's not an easy thing to do. But when it's done right, it is a beauty to behold. When I was in Oxford, I worked with a colleague, Jonathan Brandt, is his name. I write about him in one of my books. He went out of his way to bring together a group of ministers and chaplains and faculty who were all committed to this common mission of ministering to students, to transforming their lives and transforming the university for Christ. Well, it took a lot of hard work, but he did it. And I have to say that in my entire life of ministry, I'm not sure I've ever seen a better example of corporate ministry. And we can do it because we are so blessed with other ministries in our area, especially within our evangelical heritage, that can help us do so much more than if we just think we have to do it all alone. We don't have to do it all alone. The next C is really two C's, care and counsel. All Christian ministries, regardless of their pedigrees or their emphases, they ultimately involve the pastoral care and counsel of hurting people. In fact, it's virtually impossible to be a genuine community without having a willingness to care for each other in times of need. And our little tiny church is no exception. But in order to provide pastoral care and counsel to others, I think leaders in the church need to be honest about our own needs, our own shortcomings, our own faith journeys. Dan Allender, in his wonderful book entitled Leading with a Limp, he examines the reality of the Christian life as being the life of an alien. We live in the already but not in between earth and heaven. We're residents of earth, and we suffer daily the indignities of the fall, but we're citizens of heaven, but we're awaiting a promise yet to come. So how do we do ministry in this already but not yet? How do we minister as aliens to other aliens? And these words are absolutely profound. Please listen closely to what he says. He says, honesty with truth fosters a community of care. The more honest I am with you about my alien life, the more possible it is for you to suffer with me and delight in me. I'm an alien because I'm not at home. At this point, I'm also an alien to the world that is to come. So I'm at home nowhere. An alien, both to heaven and earth. But that's okay. Because it's not possible to feel pain for someone who is not an alien and a stranger. Being cared for means that leaders must reveal their own suffering so that others can enter the war that is in their hearts. Care gives and receives both sorrow and delight. A leadership team is meant to be a community of friends who suffer and delight in one another. I'd like those words to sit there for a minute. A leadership team is meant to be a community of friends who suffer and delight in one another. You know, it's so natural for us to want the pain to be short and who want to move on to better days. But in fact, being a Christian community means that sometimes we have to embrace the pain. And I don't think we want a pastor, whether interim or long term, who isn't willing to admit their own shortcomings and their own pain. We are all called to be wounded healers. Henry Nouwen wrote a wonderful book called The Wounded Healer. Because, of course, that's the image of Christ on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. So we need leadership that's willing to be honest about everything, our own foibles, our church's foibles, but also about the power of love and the power of grace and the power of reconciliation and the power of forgiveness. Because that power can help us grow to the point where we are aliens no more. Because our citizenship of heaven, we begin to realize on earth. And that, of course, requires the next C, and that is communication. Good communication is critical to anyone in a leadership role, but it's especially important to those who seek consensus where genuine ideological differences exist. And folks, we have to be honest. in Union Congregational Church, that is true. There are genuine ideological differences in our church. So if you think about our denominational affiliation, it's one of the most liberal denominations in the country. But our theological roots are firmly evangelical. How do we remain true to our heritage without becoming isolated within the larger Christian community? How do we engage with the wider community without upsetting our primary constituents? Believe it or not, much of the answer lies in good communication. And the key to good communication, in my opinion, and this is as someone who has led organizations large and small, is the timely transmission of accurate information. It is that simple. The timely, very important point, if we are late in communicating, we create the opportunity for misinformation to fill the void. So the timely communication of accurate information. It's really that simple. And I can tell you, volumes have been written about the art of good communication. But at the end of the day, there's just no substitute for telling people what they need to know when they need to know it. But as leaders, it also means acknowledging that we may have gotten some things wrong. Where there is genuine, grace-centered, missional leadership at work, sometimes the most important communication is a simple mea culpa. That, to me, is the sign of good leadership. And last but not least, creativity. You see, I think we have to remember that we are created in the image of God, who is not only the creator, but who is creative. We can cherish our traditions without being shackled by them. We needn't fear trying new things, letting go of some old things. Because at the end of the day, we need to trust the Holy Spirit to guide us in ways we haven't yet even imagined. And to accept the fact that creativity is often messy. And that's okay. Let's get ready for the mess. We shouldn't be threatened by the mess. Because frankly, messiness can be fun. Have you ever seen children finger painting? My goodness, they have fun. Yeah, church can be fun. I think it should be fun because frankly, the church is supposed to be like a 24/7 wedding celebration. And guess what? We're together the bride. That's what scripture tells us. We're the bride. The church is the bride of Christ at this 24/7 wedding celebration. This summer, I have two nieces getting married. I have the privilege of doing both services. And one of the things I try to tell every bride and every groom is, first, don't worry about whether or not everything goes to plan. Things are going to go wrong. The best man's going to forget the rings, or the groom's going to flub his lines, or the ring bearer is going to stumble down the aisle, or something is going to happen. So what? So what? It's still your wedding day, and actually you'll look back and you'll laugh. Enjoy the day. That's the second bit of news. Enjoy the day. Have fun. It breaks my heart when brides and grooms don't enjoy their own wedding day. And here's why. Because before you know it, it's over. It's over. And you can never get back that wedding day. So I sincerely hope and pray that God sends us pastors in this season who are grace-centered and mission-focused. And most of all, I pray that we get back to really enjoying being Union Congregational Church. Thank you, and God bless you.